Accession number 19129, reel 10.
What do they look like? Can you describe?
Oh, they're all regimental, smart.
What did they turn up in? What did they turn up in? Did they have like trucks or?
Oh, I don't know why they would have, but they would be outside.
So what happened when they turned up? Did they make a speech?
Oh, we were all assembled. Anybody had any weapons, had to put them, had to give them up there and then.
Did they have a bloke that could speak English, mate?
Oh, there's any moment. The majority of Germans could speak English, especially the officers. And they were told any weapons, throw them away. Which a lot did. They had knives, bayonets, they had all sorts. They acquired. But what they picked up out of the armory. And it was a big evening at the finish. And then we used to have to do a roll call twice a day. It's a good camp, mate.
So the Germans took over the camp there?
Oh, well, it wasn't long after the ship was away to Germany.
So how did that happen? Did he march to the railway station?
Oh, the village. It was a little village outside the camp. It was on the railroad. Trains, caltrops, you know, with the guards boxed on the back. There's a guard in every one.
A guard in every truck?
On the outside, he was in like a little cabin of his own. You've seen them? Caltrop with a like a little sempy box on the back.
Oh, right.
They could sit in there, like, you know, they were covered in.
So how many blokes were in the truck, do you reckon?
About 40.
Could you sit down, or was it?
Just. You just sit like this.
Did they feed you before you got on?
No. Why? We might have had a meal. I don't know, I forget. Used to stop the truck on a morning, stop the train, they used to pull in these sidings and they had the trains dug. And if you wanted to go to the toilet, you used to go truck at a time. You know, they'd let one lot out and they'd all be standing. You used to go there. Give you about 10 minutes and you're back on. And then the next note, or maybe two, there might be one day change, you know.
So they stop once a day?
On a morning, yeah. And away again.
How long were you on the truck for then?
We're on at least 3 days, maybe more, maybe four.
You said you looked out the window and everybody else didn't bother, was that?
Oh, I had a. It was like the two doors in the middle to each side, you know, sliding doors. Like that. And there was like a window at the top there, the one there, the same on the other side. And I was in this one up here. And I had someone to stand on. But I'd stand there, and there was bars across it, you know. I used to get up and stand, I'd watch out the window. I'd stand up there all day, practically.
Can you remember anything about the other blokes who were in the carriage with?
Hmm?
Yeah, can you remember anything about who you were in the carriage with, the other blokes?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was that Norman Cook? Was he one of them?
Aye, Norman had been in. Aye. Well, yeah, aye, he would have been. If you wanted a wet, you know, the door was open about that far, the sliding doors. I mean, you can go on a wet any time you wanted. Like do it outside, but on the morning you used to stop so as we could go to the bog.
Did you ever talk to the guard? Was he a German or was he Italian? Well, he'd be German.
I'm Jewish.
So did you notice the scenery changing?
You'd know you'd be
going to Germany, wouldn't you?
Well, we didn't know why. Sometimes, if you went through a station, you know, the names was there. Until went through the Brenner Pass. Went through that. I think we went through Innsbruck. And we went through Munich. I remember that. Went through Munich.
What was your first impression of Germany then when you first saw the buildings and that?
You could tell you're in a different country in Italy, you know, and it was getting colder as well. It was about September time, so anyway, it was nice in Italy, but it was, in fact, by the time we got to Germany, it was thick fog, you know, damp. Like a lot of them, when they were in Italy, they cut the legs off the trousers, you know, shorts. And he went to Germany and the bookers were frozen.
So what gear did you have when you got on the train? I mean, what did you have with you?
The Valdres jacket and trousers. Same ones I was took prisoner in. Shirt. Underpants and that. What was left of them.
So after 4 days, where did you get them after 4 days? I mean, when did you finally get off the train? I suppose they let you off on the morning, they let you have a walk about a bit.
No, you couldn't walk about. You had to go out the toilet and off and then back in, straight in.
But that would be your walk about, wouldn't it? That would be your only chance of stretching out. So after 4 days, where did they let you off?
Went in this camp. It was like a siding. It was still at 4B.
Did you know where it was?
No, I had no clue. But this little German officer, only a little fella, he spoke very good English. It was all round the guards around us, you know. You are now in Germany. You know, the usual part of it.
What else did he say? You know?
If you keep yourselves right and all that, you'll be well treated. But if any trying to escape or anything like that, you'll be trod on very heavily. And he marches up and went into this camp.
Can you remember what he looked like? Being little. Can you remember what he looked like besides being little?
No, he was only a little fella. I'll never forget it.
What kind of outfit did he have on? Did he have like the field grey? Like another coat or what kind
of... No, you know, the officer. The officer's uniform. He was smart. And we put him in these huts.
So how far did you march from the station, do you reckon?
Oh, the siding was right on the edge of the camp. We just went a good few hundred yards and there they went in when we got there. Like reception huts. Went in them first.
What happened there?
Well, it was night time. The next morning.
So where did you sleep on the night?
Just bed down anywhere. Just lie down on the floor.
Was everybody knackered then?
Oh, right. And then we had to go and get deloused. Bathed.
Was there like the hood for that? Was that like a spray you stuff?
Haircut. It's like they were all Russian prisoner of war devil.
So it was Russian prisoners that were.
They might have been. They were prison, definitely prisoner of war. I think they were Russians.
And they could
take all your clothes off and bundle them up. And they had these like boiler things, steam. And you had to put all the, they all went in there, and they were in there for a certain time, supposed to kill the lice. You went in for a shower, cold water, haircut, all off the lot, shapeshifters. This Russian, you had to go and bend down in front of him, and it went right over your head, the lot, you should drop.
Was that like a line of blokes at the same time?
Killing them. Oh, a minute and you were finished, just going along the line.
And there's like a guard behind all the night, mate.
All those guards all around, you know, and it's coming on and building all over. But you were in the wire there and you couldn't get out, and you know, it was wired in.
Then what happened after the evening photo?
There was a bloke, he had a, like a tar, I don't know what the hell it was, and a brush. You stand in front of him like that, and you put it in the armpits, around your privates, with his brush, and you should go somewhere else. And when you came out the other end, you used to get your clothes back.
You were wet still?
No, that was like steam, you know. It used to dry off straight away, but there was a horrible smell on them. You know, it was some sort of disinfectant you used to use.
Then you got your photo taken, didn't you? Was that there?
Aye, they took us up to this this other hut, and you had to stand with the you got this card with a number on, POW number. You had to stand with it like that on your chest. You took a photo. Aye.
And where did you get your dog tag? When did they give you that at the same?
You got them then.
And the were there somebody stamping that number before you?
Oh, aye.
With like a hammer and that.
I dodged, you know. 207987 was mine. POW number.
What were you saying to you with the bloke, to your pals and that, while this was going on? What do you think was going on?
We were trying to make a joke out of it, laughing. And then we were allocated into huts, proper huts, you know, with the double tiered beds. And there was a heating system in as well, but it never worked.
What was the heating system?
Well, it was like coal, but it had like these couple of little coal fires, two or three coal fires, and like a duct in between. It was supposed to be like hot air, you know.
Was it a stove then? It wasn't an open, was it an open fire, or was it a stove?
No, it was like a stove thing. It was, while we didn't really need them, I never saw them on. We were only there about a week. So we were in that camp 10 days at the most.
So what happened in the week then?
Well, it's the usual thing. You used to get up, roll call.
Just was lots of other blokes there, wasn't there, from all over?
Oh, there was any amount of compounds in there. There was civvies in as well. There was Dutch police.
Well, Dutch police are inside. Mm-hmm. Dutch police inside,
You just brought them straight in the uniforms. Bang them in there.
Did you talk to any of them then? Any of the.
I used to talk to them.
What do you remember of talking?
If you went anywhere and do something, you know, you used to bump into them. Maybe you have to go for a. vaccination or something like that, or an injection, you know, things like that. That's when you first got there.
Was it all enlisted men then, all there, or was there officers? Was there officers there as well, or was it all enlisted blokes?
There was different compounds. I remember coming in, when we come in, there was a big naval officer standing at the wire. We were all on this between, like, compounds, you know, between two sets of wire, going to, down to ours. And, did you have a good journey, chaps? You know, proper naval. Just bed on everything. Must have been in there. Can't even grow a bed. Just used to take all your hair off when you first went in.
But didn't people shout out if they knew anybody?
You know, they were always looking for somebody they knew. That was the thing, you know, when you go into a new compound, you used to go about you looking at everybody, you know, in case you might have known them.
Well, you met up with people in Italy then, didn't you, when you got captured? Those people got captured that you saw afterwards.
Les Rowley. Les. He was the first one I saw.
Where did you meet him then, in Italy?
Oh, that was in 66, near Camp 66. That was the first camp we were in.
Where did he get captured?
He was captured along from us, a bit farther along there. Where was it? I think it was the Yanks got the hammer. The Yanks let him through.
Oh, the Kasserun Pass.
Kasserun Pass. Just along, he was round about that area when we were further.
Was he in the Durham? Like,
he was in the engineers, man.
What about that Norman Kirk you met? You saw him again?
Straight away. I was with him all this time, right up to where he took us to this working camp when we were going on the truck.
We'll talk about that then.
That's when we got split.
So while you're in the, you were only there a week, so that just like an administrative thing, so whether you saw or where to send you.
Mm-hmm.
So did you know you'd be going to the work camp with the people that told you that?
We just got, so many of us got told. We marched up the gate, we got on this truck, and there was like a trailer on the back.
And how many trucks? Were there lots of trucks or just the one?
No, there was just this one. Well, there might have been two trailers on the back, I don't know, I forget now. But there was definitely a truck and a trailer, and we're all on the back.
About how many blocks?
Oh, the chance of being 100.
And they were from the hut that you were in?
Aye, they were enough.
And how did you know that you were going on the hut? How did you, it would be you walking up that morning and told to assemble or something?
Told to get you.
And who would do that? Would that be the German?
The Germans just come in. Or the officers, they spoke English.
So what did they say?
Well, they just told us to get our kit, get outside, form up, and they march us up. We got on. I remember going through Torgau, going up this road.
How long were you on the truck for?
We don't know. A couple of hours, maybe.
And it went through the city, went through the town?
Went through Torgau, aye.
Is that the first time you saw the German civilians then, when you were on the truck?
Yeah.
Can you remember anything about that, like the sights? Mm? Can you remember anything about the sights and the scenery and that as you were going along? Anybody that you saw or anything?
No, just, you know. And they pulled up. This brickyard was up there. We sidetracked up the road. Like, well, we didn't know it was a brickyard. Two big chimneys in there. And I heard the Germans say, "Wir und Spanish," verse 24. And he come along and he says, he's shouting 24, up, up, up. I jumped off. I said to Cody, "Oh, yeah." I jumped off. I got further along. He got further along there, and he counted from this end. You know, we got the 24. Right, that was it. We had to march away, and they took us up to there.
Were you number 24 then?
No, I was in the market somewhere.
What did you and him do? Did you just give him a look?
Well, I couldn't know anything about it. He had to get back on the truck. We marched up and brought us up to this brickyard. And sewage were there, you know. Then we got a guard. There was a guard came. He was there. Dooley. Dooley, he was called, man.
That was his real name, man.
Oh, it's Dooley or something, you know.
What did he look like? What did he look like?
He was stern and that, you know. He was a fair fella.
Was he very old? Or?
He was definitely kind of been older than us. He'd be in his late 30s, maybe, you know.
And he was a proper soldier.
I gave him the phone, his rifle, and bin. And he marches up through the village, right at the top, where our lager was, where the photograph was taken. He took us into the lager, and the bunks were all there. 24 men. And these different fellas had these works and that, you know, little factories and things like that. And he picked us all out. He wanted, what was it? I think it was 12 of us working the brickyard.
Who was that?
This brickyard bloke, the boss, Deedwish.
What did he look like?
Oh, he's a fellow with his sailor's cap on, you know, the peak. He was all right. He wouldn't have been, you know, he wouldn't socialise with you at all. He'd tell you what to do and things like that, but he wouldn't, you know, if you said, "Good morning, good morning," you say, you know, he didn't like talking to you, like.
When he picked 12 out and you were one of the 12? So what did the others do? What did they get to do?
Well, there's somebody else picked a couple, and there was about six of them went on working in the town, like the local council, doing repairs, roads and drains and things like that. That's what I should have been doing. So I was a bricklayer, would be. That's what everybody was, what your occupation was, you know. I wasn't going to say I was a bricklayer because I had a daft idea that I might finish up in the towns on bomb damage. So I said I was a driver, chauffeur. It was been pretty big and that, you know, with the idea for digging clay in the brickyard.
So what happened after that? Did you march you up there straight away?
On the day, and I forget now what day it was. Wasn't away again. And they all went, and the guard was left. He told us where to get up for work the next morning. And then it was routine, and then it just used to. He used to come and knock us up on the morning. He had a room round the corner.
That was a guard.
He had a room in this like a farmhouse place. He used to come and knock us up.
What time was that?
We got up past 6. And there was a tap. Wash basin, like a, you know, hand basin and the sink and the cold water tap. So we had washed. things lined us up outside. March us down. Down through the village, right way down. We used to go to the station. Over the railway line. Just cross over the line. And on the other side was the brickyard. Got in there, and there was one of the men in the brickyard. He was detailed to look after us if the guard was away somewhere else, you know. And went down the clear pit. It was this guy, the hacker, clear hacker, and the shovel. Long shovel, big long handle on. That was it.
You had to dig clay all day.
Well, it's sand, sometimes sand. It was a place where you used to get sand.
So where would you be putting it, maybe?
Well, we had skips, like iron, little iron trucks. And there's little railway lines down at the bottom. And there was a big chain. There was a big wheel at the bottom of the quarry. It had a chain on, and the chain used to go up on top of the quarry. There was another wheel, and the chain used to go around, was going around all the time. You know, it used to go that way. There were these little iron trucks they had, you know, they were both 4 feet high. They had these like things on the back and on the front. They used to take a truck full of clear, where it was all down banked down to the bottom of the quarry, you know. We used to have these woods like dregs, but they'd break it and things like that. We used to get it down there where the chain was going round. We used to push it in and then push it so far up the bank, and the chain used to catch on these things, and then it used to pull it up, you see, to the top. And when it got to the top, when the chain came out, it was going, you know, higher than the truck. The truck just used to go around, you know, a little bit and stop.
So were the other blocks at the top or not and stuff then?
Well, then just get a few, and then used to go around and put them onto another one. Used to take it up in the top of the brickyard, and you had like a pulp mill up there. Just tip them in, make the bricks.
And that was the blocks where we worked up there doing that.
Oh, there's jerrys, aye, there's rows.
How many of them would you reckon there were?
People, doesn't jerrys working.
Can you remember anything about any of them?
Hmm?
Can you remember anything about any of them?
Oh, I just know all the names, I forget them. There's one, it's like me to work with him. Rickard Pitch, called him Pitch. Rickard, glasses on. We used to work the diesel on the top, the engine, you know. We used to do it, pull the chain. It's Thomas. It's to go over him. Because it wasn't running all the time, this thing, you know. But if they had a few trucks to pull out, you used to have to start the engine. Well, I used to start the engine. They compress like a lever, you used to turn around and then drop the lever over. It used to start. And the chain used to start going around.
What about the others?
Well, there's another one there, just like Oliver Hardy. Exactly the same good fella. You know, if attached. He's always joking, you know, one of them. Taking the piss out of you, trying to. You know, he's a bloody spy, that bugger. If ever there was one.
What do you mean?
He was planted in. I'm certain of it.
What to try and hear over here, what you were talking
about.
Yeah. Could he speak English then?
No. No.
What about the others? What can you remember?
There's another one, Dietrich. Otto Dietrich. He was kind of funny. He used to come up and cut our hair, you know. At once 3 weeks every month on a Friday night. He used to come up and give us a haircut.
Did he charge you for it?
Hmm?
Did he charge you?
Well, I was to give him cigarettes and that one. Chocolate. Whatever.
Was there any that didn't like it? They didn't like the British, they just thought they didn't.
This bloody Busky, we was calling him Busky.
Who was that?
The big bugger.